And I was standing here worshiping this morning, and we were singing that third day song. What was the title of that song? Your Love, O Lord. And I remember coming into the church, and that was like rocking song, you know? Who remembers that? That was like cutting edge. Like, when I hear that song, I'm pumped. And then I saw at the bottom of the screen, there's a little thing there, copyright 1999. That's 22 years ago. That's old blood, bro. That's not new blood. And the thing about getting old is this. Is you're like a Jack Russell. You never see behind your eyes. You know, Jack Russell attacks everything in front of him because he doesn't really know how big he is. He's got a big heart, but his body's not too big. And I think what the Lord is wanting to say to us this morning is we need to make space for new blood. And by that, he means we need to make space for new people. And not just new people, but young people. We need to make space in our minds for young leaders. We need to make space in our mind for young musicians. We need to make space in our minds for young people that will view the gospel differently to what we view the gospel, that will apply the gospel differently to the way that we apply the gospel. And the thing about getting old is this, is that you kind of think you're right. Because we've done it. We've got the wisdom. We've got the track record. Look behind my shoulder. If you can turn your neck that far. And so, you know, I want to speak into us this morning, I think, an apostolic word. And it's about this thing of the young. It's about this thing of making space and place for other people in our heart. People that are going to be different to us. A generation that's going to be worshiping different to us. A generation that will lead different to us. Young people that will come in and turn our worlds upside down. And that's not saying that what they're doing is going to be wrong. It's going to be sinful. No, it's just going to be different. It will have the same elements of the gospel within it. It will glorify Jesus. It will glorify the blood of Jesus. It will acknowledge the purpose and the plan of God the Father. And it will acknowledge the Holy Spirit. But it will look different. You see, Emsley had that thing last night, the white and the blue, the white and the blue, the white and the turquoise. The white of purity and the turquoise of God is doing a new thing. And so the title for my preach this morning is The Three T's of Preparation. The Three T's of Preparation. And I want to look specifically at the life of Joseph and Joseph's family and how a gifted young man was sent into captivity so that he could prepare a way. You see, they were different. And what are the three T's of preparation? Testing, trial, and temptation. You see, those are the three things that will come across our path universally as Christians. And it will shape into us the image of Jesus Christ, which will prepare us for the work that God has got for me and you. Because each one of us has a work. And so I want to say to you that you cannot avoid testing. You cannot avoid trial. You might be able to avoid temptation. You know, two is definite. The third one's just stupidity. So let's go and look at the scriptures, because that's what we've got a basis on, right? And so in James 1, 12 to 14, it says this. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for he, when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. He himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. So there we see those three words. Testing, trial, and temptation. What is the difference between a test and a trial? Well, let me quickly look. Actually, that word there used for testing and tempting in that first verse is the same word. It's perasmo. It's to be burnt by fire, to be proofed. And so the fire of the test will come across us. And what a test will do for us is a test is an instance of testing quality, efficacy, and safety. A trial, which is represented by the word dokismo in Greek, is a number of tests which show that you are approved. Okay, so what does that mean? I mean, I think all of us have this experience too in life. We've got all these vaccine trials going on. So what are they doing with the vaccine trials? It's they're taking one vaccine and they're testing it on many subjects in order to determine quality, efficacy, and safety. Right? Who wants a vaccine that doesn't work? Who wants a vaccine that's unsafe? And who wants a vaccine that's just so effective that you might as well not have taken the vaccine? And so a trial is a number of tests which show you that something is approved. Or a trial can be on one subject, a number of different tests. You see, a vaccine is one vaccine that gets tested on a different amount of people, different demographics, different age, different race, different geographies and demographies, and you know, it gets tested on different people to make sure that it's effective, safe, and blah blah blah. But so when God puts us through a trial, it means that we have different tests that we go through. And when we succeed in the trial, it means that we are approved. It doesn't mean that you're going to pass every single test. Remember at school, throughout the year you had like tests. And at the end of the year, they would put up all, aggregate all your test results. And they will aggregate, put together all your projects that you had to do. And then you would get a final mark. When I was at school, 33 and a third, if you came in below that line, then you had to stay behind. Who remembers that? Yeah. But if you were, that's so low. I remember at university, it was 50%. And I thought to myself, that means I only know half the work that I should know. Then if you come to me and I'm there to help you, I only know half that I should know in order to help you. I mean, that's low, eh? It's very scary. Yes, you guys are you guys with me? I'm just going to make sure that you're with me because you look like you're drifting off a bit. So here's a joke. It's the masks. Just breathe in. So I saw an amazing little joke about the COVID test this week. It's a little meme. For those of you that don't know, a meme is like a picture with a joke on it. I think that's what a meme is. Because I'm also getting old. I'm getting to 47 now. And it's like, the question is, who killed Goliath? And then there's like, underspace, vid. So what's the answer? Who killed Goliath? David. But the little kid wrote COVID. So the difference between a test and a trial is that we, in our Christian walk, will go through many tests. And God trials us through the many tests in order to make sure that Christ is formed within us so that we can then walk into the purpose and the plan and the destiny that He has for us. So that when each one of us do that, we become a place where God dwells by His Spirit through holiness and we can minister to one another and to the church on the outside. And that is the why, the what, and the how. That is why we go through tests. That is why we go through trials. And when a test or a trial turns into a temptation, James says is we allow ourselves to be enticed and pulled away by evil desires, baited and dragged off. And so God's desire is never for you to be tempted, but God will bring a test and a trial across your path. And so when we look at Psalm 105, verse 17, speaking about Joseph, it says, He had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Who sent Joseph to Egypt? Who's the he? God. You see, but really, Lord? Did God send Joseph? Because quickly think about the story of Joseph. What happened to Joseph? He had this amazing dream, shared it with his brothers. He was his father's favorite son. He got given a cloak. His brothers got jealous and angry. And then one day when he came to them, he got thrown into a pit. Well, first they wanted to murder him. Then he got thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, taken to Egypt, away from his family. He served in Potiphar's house. The favor of the Lord and the presence of the Lord was upon him. And then Potiphar's wife came and she said, come and sleep with me. And he refused. And he got unjustly thrown into jail for 10 years. And then there was two guys that came in that worked for the king. And they had a dream and he laid out their dreams for them. And the one guy got reinstated and he said to him, remember me when you're there. Like, just tell the king I'm here unjustly. And for another 2 years he remained in jail. And then one day the king had a dream and Joseph came and he told the king what the dream was about. So who put Joseph through all that? Was it his brothers? Or was it God? Scary, eh? So scary. That God would, in his plan and purposes, put Joseph through that. I want to ask you this morning, what are you going through? You see, because if you don't understand this thing, we might think that when we go through the trial and the test, who likes a test? Who hates a test? Who's never been tested? I remember writing my last test at university. That's after 22 years from standard sub A, 7 jaar oud, gaan jy skool toe. Toets. Universiteit, toets. Wrote my last pharmacology exam, I was free. No more tests. Why am I telling you that? Tests aren't nice. But you know what's even worse than a test? Is a surprise test. Like my brother-in-law was a pharmaceutical lecturer at the university, UPE, where I was studying. Now, pharmaceutics is how do you make medicine and, you know, the blah, 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 blah. And he wasn't the type of brother-in-law that helped me. No, he was the type of brother-in-law that if I was his brother, he was going to be harder on me. I remember we had one lecture. The next week we walk into a lecture and guess what? Surprise test. After 6 months, 5% of the class was passing. The rest of us, we were all failing. Why am I telling you this? It's because it shouldn't be a surprise to you if God puts you through tests and trials. You see, God's not going to put a surprise test on you. But if you think God doesn't test you and trial you, you're going to get the surprise test, and then you're going to think, it's the devil's fault, it's my fault, what am I not doing right, blah, 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 blah. You get that? And so I want to say to you this morning, I want to prepare you that you will face trials and tests. His feet were hurt with fetters and his neck was put in a collar until what he had said came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. If you get a prophecy, be very scared. The king sent and released him. The ruler of his people set him free. He made him lord of his house and the ruler of all his possessions to bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach his elders wisdom. So we see once Joseph had gone through the testing and the trial and God said, approved on the man, the word of the Lord came and he was released from jail. And in a moment, in a day, he went from being a prisoner to being the second in charge of Egypt. Now, Egypt at that point was kind of like America, I suppose. I suppose like what America was. Is America still a superpower? Yeah, who knows, eh? Make America great again. It almost worked. So it would be like for Joseph going from jail to being the vice president. Kind of like the current situation. Anyway, let me not go into that. The vice president's ruling the country. Okay, you guys get it? How many of you are going through trials and testings right now? You know, life is not lekker. It sucks. It's just, it's not, this is not the Christianity I signed up for. You know, I signed up for blessing and fellowship and goodness and lots of money and lots of blessing in my household and no strife and no conflict. And now I look at my life and I'm saying, something's wrong. I'm serving the wrong God, maybe. No, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. So what are some of the tests that happened to Joseph and his family? And in Genesis 37, we can see, and I've just summarized those. How long have I been going? About 15 minutes. 12 minutes. 10 minutes. 5 minutes. I've got five left where I've been going.
Sorry, I can't see you.
So the first test that we see in Genesis 37 is, you know, Joseph, he battled with his humility when he was young. He was his father's favorite son. And we see in Genesis 37 in verse 1, 2, 3, and 4 that he got sent out to his brothers to go and shepherd the sheep with them. And then when he came back, the first thing he did was he brought a bad report about his brothers. Now, the reason his father sent him out there to his brothers was so that he could go and learn. And I think this is something that the young people amongst us can learn. You know, when we're young, we think we know everything. Do you guys remember that still? And then life kind of like the knocks of life help you to know that you don't actually know anything. And I want to say the same thing actually happened to Jesus. Do you guys remember there's a story where his parents go to Jerusalem and they go to the festivals, and then afterwards they go home, and they were a very collective society. And so, you know, they lived in, where did they live? Nazareth, which is probably about 250 kilometers away from Jerusalem, 300 kilometers. So a couple of days into the journey, Mary realizes, shucks, Jesus isn't with us. Now, this is the best mother God could pick for his son. And so they turn around and they go and they find Jesus. Where do they find Jesus? They find him in the temple asking questions of the scribes. And the Bible says that they were marveling at this young man's insight, saying that actually Jesus knew what he was talking about. And his mom kind of like moved in there and she grabbed him by the ear, said, "Come, I stu." And he said, like, "But I'm about my father's business." And the Bible says in Luke, whoops, I almost fell off. Luke 2, 51 and 52. Well, it doesn't say it there, eh? It's the wrong translation. The Amplified says, "And he was habitually obedient to his parents." Where he is habitually submissive to his parents. "And he grew in favor with God and with man." So I want to say to the young people out there, it's one thing to have a gift. It's one thing to have an anointing. It's one thing to think that you know it all. It's another thing to grow in favor with God and man. And even Jesus, being God, had to grow in favor with God and man. And he did that through submission and humility. And so the first thing that we can learn from Joseph's family life is that the trial that we will face when we are young is the trial of humility. The second trial is that it's the cheerleading trial. And remember, we're saying this in the context of God wanting to release more and more younger people into our midst. You know, some of us think that elders should be old. How old were the disciples when they were called? They were teenagers. How old was Paul when they stoned Stephen at his feet? You say that, you know, the Bible says that they laid their cloaks at Saul's feet, and then they stoned Stephen, the deacon, the first martyr. Do you know why they laid their cloaks at his feet? Is he's the one that gave them the authority to stone the man. That's what it means. How old do you think Paul was when they did that? Somewhere between 22 and 24. And so I kind of like skipped a point, but maybe this is just God that's helping me along. Is that we cannot have the older brother syndrome in us. You see, the older brother syndrome relies on the things of the past and the way that we did it in the past. It's the difference between tradition and traditionalism. Tradition is the dead faith of the living. Traditionalism is the living faith of the dead. You see, we need to discern what we've done in the past still carries the presence of God on it, and what we did in the past doesn't carry the presence of God on it. And as older brothers, we still think that we're young. But we're not. We're old. Like you guys look at me and you think I'm young. I'm 47. For some of you, that's young and that's scary. I'm halfway there, wherever there is. You know, wisdom and favor doesn't come from the East and the West. It comes from the Lord. I know a lot of great people that are not wise. Age doesn't guarantee you wisdom. And I know a lot of young people that have got wisdom. Because God says, ask me for wisdom and I will give you. So I want to just adjust this little thing in our heart. You know, there's another story about the older brother in the New Testament. You know, the younger brother, he takes his inheritance, runs away, parties, comes back repentant. Older brother comes in from the field, hears the party, and he's like angry. How dare God bless him? What does the Bible say? Godliness with contentment is great gain. You see, maybe you as an older person also desire leadership. Maybe you also desire eldership. It's a good thing. Maybe you also desire to be used. Your time's not over. But don't develop a critical spirit in your heart where you despise the favor of the Lord upon the young people. You see, interesting thing, what happened with Joseph is, my notes is getting jumbled and that's fine, is that as he moved, you see, he was a klein snortkop. He was a difficult, I'm saying snortkop, it's not, it's right. I was a snortkop, full of himself, a young man. Not achter die ore. God takes him, uses his brother, sells him into slavery. And the interesting thing, the change in the story is that before that he was loved by his father Jacob, but he was despised by his brothers. God takes him out of that family situation, puts him into Potiphar's house and into jail. And both times when things go wrong in his life, the Bible says, and God was with him and he prospered in everything that he did. And the favor of the Lord was upon him and he got raised to a higher profile. What's the difference? Is that when we go on a journey with God, is God always with you? Is God always with you? No. Yes. I don't know. You know, you've got the seal of the Holy Spirit on you. You've got His Spirit living inside of you. You've maybe got the gifts operating in you. But does that mean that God's always with you? No. Because there's salvation, but then there is also lordship. There's the free receiving and giving, but then there's also the participation. And those that choose to be with God will be with God. Doesn't Jesus say, my servant will be where I am? Or does it say, he will be where the servant is? You see, there's a special type of presence that we can get from the Lord only if we walk in his plans. Do you get that? Your plans are not God's plans. Right? And so Joseph also goes through this forgotten test while he's in jail. gifting, anointing goes up, bah, hits bottom. And maybe you're sitting there and you're feeling like God has forgotten you. You are locked up in jail. You had a ministry, you had an impact, but where is it now? God desires to use me and you. And there is a point where God will release you from the jail when the prophecy that has been spoken over you has worked its work in you. So how do we apply this in our lives? We read earlier in James that we need to be steadfast in our trials. That means to be hypomeno. Hypodermic needles, we stick them under your skin. Hypo means to be under. Meno means to pause. If you are in a trial or in a testing, what you need to do is you need to remain under God's word. You need to remain under God's authority. You need to remain under God's church. You need to remain under God's leaders. You need to remain under the prophecies and the words that has been spoken over you. And you need a pause. You don't make a decision when you are in a place of testing, when your pride and your humility is being tested, when your forgottenness is being tested, when your forgiveness is being tested. When you are tested, you stay put. You remain under and you stay put. Because what we will do and try and do at that point is we want to run. We want to run from under and we want to make things work by ourselves. And so what do we do when we are in a trial of testing? We remain put in the church with our family, not moving, under the word of God. If the word of God says it, we do it. If the word doesn't say it, we don't do it. Because the devil at that point, at your point of weakness in your testing and in your trial, will try and come and entice you away. And so I ask this question again to you this morning. How many of you are going through a trial and a testing? There's nothing wrong with a trial and a testing. How do you feel when you're in a trial and a testing? Well, you feel like you're in jail. You feel like you've got a thing around your neck. You feel like you can't move, that you've got stuff around your ankles. That's all right. That's part of the natural processes of God. God will not test you beyond what you can endure. But don't be tempted in your testing to move. You know, some of you want to move cities. Some of you want to move jobs. Some of you want to move marriages. Some of you want to move relationships. Some of you want to move communities. Some of you want to move congregations. You never do that in a time of testing and trial. Because you cannot see the wood from the trees. Because God is doing something in you in that point. You know, I want to say to you, you are not forgotten. You are not useless. You are not discarded. If you're doing this, God has still got stuff for you to do. Don't be tempted by the devil to think that your time is over. Your time's not over. And can I ask us as a congregation to open up our hearts for God to bring through the younger people? You know, they might be young and they might not know everything that we do. But God puts a zeal inside of younger men that we kind of like lose when we become campers when we're old, eh? Well, actually, I don't like camping that much. That's why I built the trailer. But we don't have as much oomph in us. And so we need the young and we need the old. We need all of you. That's why the congregations need to be a good reflection of old and young. That's why your communities need to be a good reflection of old and young. Don't all the old people cook together because all the old people have the same problems and you talk about your Dufilac and your stuff and you swap your pills out and you do all that. And all the young people cook together and they have the same problems. The young people can't help each other and the old people can't help each other because you all have the same problems. And then it turns into a moan sessy. Now, help one another. You know, I want to say, I go again. How long have I been going now, Chris? You must stop praying now because it's just coming. I'm just going to land it right there. If you've been going through a testing and a trial, I want to pray for you this morning.